Scotland and the Lake District. BBC News.
Now on BBC Radio 4, our classic serial based on the novel Henry James considered his most perfectly crafted work. The year is 1901 and Lambert Strether has come to Paris to bring Chad, the son of his wealthy fiancée, back home to New England. But Strether has allowed himself to be delayed in his task through his infatuation with Paris and with the beautiful Madame de Vionnet.
The Ambassadors by Henry James. Adapted for radio by Graham White. With Henry Goodman as Lambert Strether. Part 2.
Why must one remember?
Live all you can. It's a mistake not to.
Repeat, return to one's words.
Then, Monsieur Strether, you're not saving me for your interest in me, but for your interest in Chad.
No. No, I assure you. The golden nail she had then driven in now pierced a good inch deeper. And the golden nail firmly embedded, I returned to my hotel as in a cloud, only for my reverie to be interrupted in the lobby.
Monsieur Strether.
Oui, merci.
A telegram.
Merci beaucoup.
I read it, and then I paced. And then I read it again. Come back by the first ship. And I paced and considered its consequences and dined with Waymarsh, who appeared unaware of all and quite assuredly himself. And afterwards I paced and I read. And next day, I gave it to Chad. I am to go back, Chad.
Well, it comes as pat as in a play. For I've precisely turned up this morning to take you.
To take me?
Back. I'm ready, at last.
You are.
You're looking this morning as fit as a flea, Strether.
It's from your mother, Chad. Look at it.
I'd rather not. I'm decided. I'm ready to go and face the music.
Then why did you want to let Madame de Vionnet speak to me?
Because I knew how well she'd do it.
Oh, she did. Eloquently.
The de Vionnets are afraid I may get caught over there in America, but the fear's groundless.
If I don't immediately sail, your family will be here, Chad. The Pococks will come out.
That's Mother's ultimatum? To send out Sarah and Jim?
Oh, and you may be sure, Mamie. And Mamie Pocock is very charming.
Is she?
Oh, yes. It's a long time since you've seen her, Chad. She's all grown up.
Well, I should very much like to see her.
Well, then, do so. By all means.
Yes. Let us go.
No. No, Chad. Stay on with me instead.
Stay?
Yes.
Why? So, you don't want to get back to Mother?
Well, perhaps not just yet.
I see.
If within my first month here you'd been willing to return, we'd be back home by now.
But you wouldn't have had your fun, would you?
No. No. And I think I'm having enough to last me for the rest of my days. After Chad left me, I departed the hotel and walked aimlessly, a long distance, lost in thought. I felt that I'd been through an education. As I wandered beside the Seine, I found myself passing near here. Madame de Vionnet's fine old house. I hovered for a while. Might I visit, unanticipated? Would that be welcome? I saw a carriage pass. Was it hers? It was close to her house. Was that her arm at the window? I turned away. I answered the telegram after a pause. Judge best to take another month, but with full appreciation of all support. 2 days later, Chad received a telegram saying that the family were on their way. I was privileged with no such communication. Maria Gostrey had returned from the South. I sought her out for advice.
Oh.
I suspect Waymarsh must have written to all Woollett that I'm in peril of perdition.
Waymarsh?
Oh, yes. I saw a Woollett postmark on a letter in his hotel rack.
But he's your friend.
Above all things, Waymarsh is conventional. He has become an agent against me. Is that woman walking there a performer?
Oh, she's a mannequin. What they now call a model. The city arcades are full of them these days to display the newest garments.
Well, perhaps I'm in need of a refashioning.
How serenely you seem to take it all.
Well, I shouldn't be at all surprised if I've gone a little mad. But I'm resolute.
Have you cabled a reply?
No, I've made Chad do it. My answer will follow his.
To see you work this out will be one of the sensations of my life. Mamie will be their great card to lay before Chad, won't she, to lure him back to the new world? Oh, I think I feel sorry for her.
Well, it can't be helped.
Perhaps I feel sorry for all of us.
I'd like to purchase a necktie. Hmm? There, in the shop window?
The yellow?
Yes.
Do you think that wise?
A tie to me is not a matter of wisdom, but of taste. Would you help me with the purchase? Come on.
If you wish.
I knew then how things stood. I'd been writing letter after letter, but I was hearing little. Oddly, I never so lived with my Lady of Woollett as during that period of her silence. I sought distraction. The opera again, this time alone.
Pourquoi pleurez-vous ici, toute seule?
Ne me touchez pas, ne me touchez pas.
N'ayez pas peur, je ne vous ferai pas.
So, awaiting the arrival of the Pococks, I sat one morning for breakfast when Waymarsh appeared. His sliding from my life had been slow but almost total. Whenever we crossed paths, he seemed sheepish, uneasy.
Good morning, Waymarsh.
Good morning, Strether. That's a remarkable necktie.
Indeed, for it has drawn from you a remark.
Hmm. I acquired our hotel in of late. Perhaps now we will have some peace.
Oh, I doubt that.
Oh?
They have left for Europe.
Who?
The Pococks. They are on their way.
Chad's family?
Yes.
And how do you take that news, Strether?
I shall be glad to see them. How do you take it?
Oh, I have no opinions on the affair. Native reinforcements can only ease my time here, but...
I thought Miss Berace had been helping you acclimatize?
Expatriates like Miss Berace, ambassadors from home, they're all Americans in the end.
Aren't they? Now, what's for breakfast?
As he ate in silence, he avoided my eye with a show of reading a French language newspaper. He, whose French I had heard poorly essayed in the hotel's lounge bar late at night. There was no bridging now of our growing gulf.
Well, I'm thinking I'll maybe take a bath. Prepare for the day.
So, a desire to further separate and distance from him grew. I began to neglect my duties, to resent the whole notion of duty. Visiting, wandering, Chartres, Fontainebleau, even a night at Rouen. And amongst all, waiting for a reckoning. And one afternoon, I found myself again in the neighborhood of this fine old house across the river. So I passed under the great arch of its doorway.
Good afternoon. I wonder, is Madame de Vionnet at home this afternoon? And would you kindly convey my card to her?
Pardon, monsieur. I'm afraid Madame is not in Paris at present. She spends some time in the country.
Ah.
And from that moment, my position weakened.
She returns in 3 days.
3 days?
Yes.
The 15th of July, the day of the arrival.
Of her arrival, yes.
No matter. Thank you. I'll leave my card.
Oui, monsieur.
I had felt the need to speak with Madame, to perhaps strengthen my resolve, but it wasn't to be. And so I waited, as now, alone, until the morning at the Gare du Nord, where I gathered with Chad and with Waymarsh.
I wonder, ought I to really even be here, Strether?
You ought, Waymarsh, and I'm sure you will like Mrs. Pocock.
Miss Barrace will find her nose quite out of joint.
I think I shall step aside for a smoke.
He'll amuse them.
Oh, they'll become as thick as thieves. Sarah Pocock will take him into her boat. And it's your mother's own boat that she's pulling, Chad.
Look, Strether, candidly, do you think Sarah and Madame de Vionnet should become acquainted?
Well,
she's come out to get a sight of the company I keep.
Yes, I'm afraid so.
Why do you say you're afraid?
Well, my letters...
Well, you've only spoken handsomely of the de Vionnets.
Never more handsomely of any women. But it's just that tone, Chad, I presume, that has fetched them.
Ah, here's their train.
Waymarsh!
You know, Strether, I never saw Madame de Vionnet be more charming to any man.
Chad, you know that Sarah hasn't come out to be bamboozled or to be ravished. She has not come for that at all.
You intend to introduce her to Miss Gostrey, Strether?
Well,
that's an interesting tie you're wearing.
I can assure you that there is nothing for me to be embarrassed about in that friendship, Chad Newsome.
Ah! I believe I see them alighting.
Oh, Waymarsh!
I'm here.
Yes, this is the train, and there is the party.
Chad Newsome, how wonderful to see you.
Sarah. Bienvenue à Paris.
Well, indeed, bienvenue we are. Chad, you remember Jim. And, of course, Mamie.
Mamie, delighted. So pleased to see you again.
Hello, Chad. My, you look so different.
And Jim. Hello there, Jim.
Why, Chad, what a sight for sore eyes.
Mr. Lambert Strether, don't hang back there. Let us see you. Now, what have you done for Chad and for us?
Oh, hello, Sarah. Jim. Mamie, my dear, you look wonderful.
Lambert, good to see you.
Hello, Mrs. Strether. Mm-hmm.
My mother sends so many wishes to you, Lambert, all of them good, and so much wishes to see you.
Yes, well, my mission has been a rather demanding one, Sarah.
I think he means I've been demanding.
And I shouldn't wonder if that were the case, Chadwick Newsome. It's certainly demanded a new approach to your neckwear, Lambert.
Yes.
Now, is this Mr. Waymarsh by any chance?
My fame precedes me.
Monsieur, les bagages, s'il vous plaît.
Yes, or should we say Lambert's letters, which speak so highly of you and so often.
Lambert's very kind.
Chad, do you live near the Champs-Élysées?
A shortish step, Mamie.
Oh, I so wish to see it.
Oh, that and much else. And whatever Jim and Sarah wish to see. You look a picture, Mamie, despite the journey.
Is this really the Chad Newsome I knew when I was little? You used to greet me with a punch or a pull of the pigtails.
Well, I do believe you've learned some manners, Chad.
Waymarsh, could you help me with this trunk?
Call a porter, Strether.
Trust my sister to bring me down to earth. I was merely complimenting Mamie on how well she looks.
Just to place it on this trolley, the porter is rather burdened.
Well, wait until he's free, man.
Mamie, you will grace the city's boulevards.
Well, back home she turns heads when she takes a stroll down Main Street, no mistake.
No, I'm no great beauty in our hometown.
Oh, well, I assure you, you'll adorn Paris.
Chad, we have our transport?
Yes, now. We have two carriages on hand. Sarah, Jim, I wonder, is it time to depart for your hotel?
Oh. Lambert, let me help you there.
Oh, thank you.
Come, Jim. My dear.
Please.
I thought best to hold back, to allow Sarah and Chad and Mamie and Waymarsh to ride ahead, while I helped Jim to secure the luggage. We rode on together.
Well, this whole trip seems to me a regular windfall, Lambert. I don't know quite what Sarah has come for, but I've come to enjoy myself.
I trust that will be the program for everyone.
Oh, is this the hotel?
Yes, I think we approach.
Here, Lambert, let's take another turn. They've all they need with them, and it ain't for me to tackle Chad.
Really?
Yes, take us round the block again.
Very well.
Chauffeur, refaites le même voyage, s'il vous plaît.
Allez, va!
Well, I say, you're a regular at-home kind of a guy, Lambert. It'll be like Sarah to open fire on the spot, so it may not be amiss of us to give her a little time. I leave all that analyzing to the ladies.
So you've no thoughts on the matter of Chad's return?
None, but that I'd be hanged if I'd go home in his shoes, give up this to go back and boss the advertising.
Well, Well, Chad will be the man to do it. He has a natural turn for business.
Does he now? Well, if you believe in making him return, why have you so prolonged things? You've been here, what, 4 months already?
Well, I suppose that...
What? You've enjoyed your Paris?
Yes, I suppose that's it.
You old wretch!
Oh, no, the case is more complex than it looks from Woolworth.
Well, I can tell you it looks pretty bad from there.
Oh, well, even after all I've written?
That's just what made Mrs. Newsome pack us off.
And Sarah has come out to act?
Oh, she does that, you know, every time she leaves the house. Now, is there anything to see at the Varieties or the Follies?
I'm afraid I wouldn't know, Jim.
Oh, wouldn't you now?
Votre hôtel, monsieur!
Jim, has Mrs. Newsome at all given way?
She's prostrate, Strether. Just as Sarah is. But these Woollett women are never so lively, you know, as when they're prostrate. It's when they're prostrate that they most sit up.
Mrs. Newsome sitting up?
Monsieur, on est arrivé!
I'll say. All night, my boy. And for you.
We're coming, my man!
Yeah.
The vertiginous dislocation provided by the Pococks' arrival remained, in fact, grew stronger, as I found myself, well, ignored. It was a couple of days before I pursued the matter and visited Sarah at her hotel, where I heard a voice that I recognized.
Oh, Lambert. Good morning.
Good morning, Sarah. Madame de Vionnet. Waymarsh.
Monsieur Strether, I'm so pleased to see you.
Likewise, madame.
Lambert, do sit down.
Thank you.
Madame de Vionnet had come without Jean.
Monsieur Strether, I have said to Madame Pocock that I'm at her disposal to advise on dressmakers and shops, and that I would be enchanted to receive a visit.
Oh, you are too kind in your attentions, Comtesse.
Oh, madame, please.
But as I say, I know Paris.
Then you have an affinity that belongs to your family. Your brother has become one of us in a marvelous way.
Well, now Chad helps me to navigate these foreign waterways with the wisdom of an experienced pilot.
And you can't be in need with the good offices of Monsieur Strether also close at hand, no? I gather he has learned to know his Paris and to love it better than anyone.
Oh, I don't know.
The great thing Monsieur Strether will show you is just to let oneself go.
Oh, I've not let myself go very far.
No, you appear as ever, Lambert. Tea?
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
And Monsieur Strether, when does one ever see you? I wait at home and I languish.
Oh, I...
The real truth is, you know, that you sacrifice all to dear old Maria.
Well,
Madame Pocock, do you know about dear old Maria?
Yes, indeed, Mrs. Pocock knows about Miss Gostrey. Your mother, Sarah, must have told you about her.
I'm not sure I have a notion of whom you're talking.
I can post you about the lady, Mrs. Pocock. I've kept my eye on her right along. I don't know as there's any real harm in her.
Oh?
Though there's no doubt she does like our Strether.
Ah, but we all like Monsieur Strether. It isn't a merit.
There's actually no Miss Gostrey for anyone but me. I keep her all to myself.
Well, it's very good of you to notify me, Lambert. But I hope I shan't miss her too much.
I wish you would keep me a little more to yourself. I'll be at home whenever it best suits you.
Well, I did lately call on you, madame. Last week, while you were out of town.
Oh? You choose your moments well. But don't wait for my next absence, for I shan't make another while Madame Pocock's here.
Yes, well, I'm only a short time in Paris, Comtesse. I have plans for other countries.
Then all the more reason to visit. Tomorrow, for instance. Or next day. Tuesday would do for me beautifully.
Tuesday, then. With pleasure.
And at 5:30? Or at 6?
Say 5:45.
5:45. Good. I did hope so much also to see Mamie. Mayn't I still?
She'll return your visit with me. She's at present out with Jim and Chad.
Well, we shall sit, my child and I, and wait and wait and wait for you. Good morning, then. To you, Madame Pocock, and Monsieur Waymarsh, and dear Monsieur Strether.
Good morning, Comtesse.
Good day, ma'am.
Good morning. And, how does your mother, Sarah?
Quite well, thank you, Lambert.
You've heard from her since your arrival?
Oh, yes.
And Jim and Mamie?
Are touring the city with Chad, as I said.
I see.
Mr. Waymarsh has been kind enough to keep me company here. I rather suffered from our journey, I think, and some rest is doing me good.
Is your mother likely to follow you?
My mother, as you know, is not so strong as to contemplate a sea crossing.
No, of course.
I think I may retire for the rest of the morning. Mr. Waymarsh, excuse me. Would you mind showing Mr. Strether out?
Indeed not. Come on, Strether.
Oh, yes. Well,
I hope your rest is a good one, Sarah. You've no need, Waymarsh.
Oh, I shall take a turn to our own hotel. Good morning, Mrs. Pocock.
Good morning, Mr. Waymarsh.
So you and Sarah are firm friends now, then, Waymarsh?
Native reinforcements, Strether.
Yes. Perhaps I shall walk down rather than take the elevator.
Do you good, I should think.
Yes, it'll do me good.
Well, I had then my invitation. The one that I had, I must admit, been looking for. And so I took it. Excited, animated by all that was passing.
Sarah Pocock has depths. She opens so straight down, as it were, into her mother, who is herself so profound.
Perhaps she believes you to have stepped into my boat?
Yes. Yes, you're right, I'm sure. The great question, meanwhile, is how Chad appears to his sister.
Well, that I cannot tell you. I haven't seen him since Madame Pocock's arrival.
Oh?
Our friendship's like that. But I beg Chad to be beautiful to the Pococks.
Oh, one can trust him to make a good show. He's still showing Jim around, and I think it will be Jim who'll counteract Sarah's spell. Jim's intensely cynical. Nothing would persuade him that I really didn't come over to have a good time before it was all too late.
Oh, Monsieur Strether.
Well, the men of my age at Woollett have been noted as liable to strange outbreaks.
Oh, no.
Waymarsh will take Sarah Pocock around while Chad takes Jim.
But what becomes of Mamie?
That I don't know. Just wait a little. Trust it all to Chad.
The things I leave to Chad.
They ought to see this apartment, you know. Mamie in particular. I wish Mrs. Newsom herself could have a look.
You think it will make a difference?
Oh, it would. It would. To an American eye, it's... Oh, well, it's overwhelming.
Oh, you would have been a good friend, Monsieur Strether. A good friend. You feel things uncommonly deeply.
Well, perhaps I do.
I think I could rely on you as I have relied on Chad.
Oh, I'm dependable, yes.
And noble.
Well, look, Madame... Madame, let his family come here. Let this work on them. They will see all the difference and all the wonder.
Yes. Yes, I will.
Have no fear. We will work this through.
Yes. I must tell you. I must say this now.
Yes?
Jeanne is to be married.
To Chad?
No. It is Chad himself who has put us in the way of an opportunity.
Well, he's told me nothing.
Well, it has come with rather a rush in a very few days. The young man had met Chad and got a friend to approach him as having a proper interest in us. There are only two or three points to be settled. They depend on her father.
Does nothing then depend on Jeanne?
Oh, naturally. But she is pleased. Our young friend she quite adores.
And Chad... Chad arranged this?
Yes, indeed.
I am amazed.
Yes, I see. We have so much to thank Chad for.
Yes, well... I'll just leave now. I have errands. It's a busy time with the Pococks here. Good evening, madame.
Good evening, Monsieur Strether.
So, Chad had played a hand, had wrong-footed me. Was he, Chad, then seeking to break his ties? Apprised of a changing circumstance, I waited quietly, a little distant, hoping to perceive its impact. Eventually, I could contain my own interest no longer. I returned to visit Sarah Pocock.
Good evening.
Hello?
She wasn't at home.
It's me, Strether.
Oh, Mr. Strether. I thought you were Mr. Billam.
Well, and I thought you were Sarah. Oh. Mamie, it's very pleasing to see you.
Oh, and you, Mr. Strether, as well, at last.
You've all been so very busy recently.
Yes, I know.
You've met Mr. Billam, then?
Oh, I have, yes. Oh, isn't he enchanting? I was just out on the balcony. The view is wonderful at this point in the evening as the sun goes down.
He's an admirable young man.
Yes. Oh, he and Chad and the Comtesse and Jeanne, they are all a wonder, and I adore them.
Chad, too?
Oh, yes. Well, he's like a brother to me, I find. One to be relied on. Charming. Worldly. A brother.
A brother? Where is Sarah, Mamie?
On another excursion. She's determined to be everywhere.
But never here.
Yes, you've called, I know.
Well, I have seen her, but only once. Though I often pass this way.
En route to Chad's apartment, the Boulevard Malesherbes?
Yes.
I hear your name so often. They adore you there. They all think the world of you and how you've...
changed?
You're positively Parisian, they say.
I fear I may also feature prominently in the letters I see on your table.
From my aunt, yes. Your name appears a good deal. Well, your diplomatic mission has been accomplished, it seems to me. Whatever may be said there.
Mamie, you're the definition of swell. I see Chad has given you a book?
I was reading as I waited. Flaubert. I'm not really enjoying it. Chad takes the teacher role you used to take.
Yes, it seems, but the day before yesterday.
Well, time is different at home, I think. Not better, nor worse. Different. This city is vast, and Woolett has little of here, but much that's missing. It's so fresh, and so brash, and so even.
Even, yes.
I really think that I notice people more in Woolett. In this city, it's the dressmaker's assistant and the shopkeeper's boy who pass unnoticed in front of my gaze. It would never do, never, to allow such a thing in Main Street.
And how is Main Street?
Oh, as pretty as it ever has been in the sunshine, and with a whole new spring fair opening and a plan for a new fair in the fall. Oh, that sounds very provincial, doesn't it?
It's a good sound.
Oh, I could stay here in Paris, you know, but I think part of me would have died. Though Madame de Vionnet is too fascinating for words.
You've met her?
Oh, yes. We visited with Chad. And Jeanne, who I was dying to see, is perfectly ideal.
You've heard that Mademoiselle de Vionnet is to be married?
Yes. The gentleman was there, Monsieur de Montbron.
And was he nice?
Yes. Yes, he was. But, well, any man's nice when he's in love.
Am I nice then, Mamie?
Well, Mr. Strether, the question is, are you still in love?
Thank you, thank you. We shall hear more music in a moment. Now, if you would all like to take the opportunity for a little more refreshment.
Billam. Billam, shall we take some air on the balcony?
Certainly.
There's quite a press of people tonight.
Yeah. Chad may have spiced his welcoming draft a little too highly. Sarah Pocock certainly stands out in her splendor of crimson.
Rather like the sound of a fall through a skylight.
Listen to you, Lambert Strether. You're one of us now.
Well, what does she make of it all, though? During that wonderful dinner, she did not once meet my eyes.
Oh, she takes it all as proof that Chad's family is more than ever justified.
She isn't pleased with all this?
On the contrary. She wants him to move the whole thing stateside. Huh.
You know, Billum, I wish awfully you'd marry Mamie Pocock yourself.
Oh?
She likes you. You console her.
For what does she need consolation?
Oh, come now. You know.
And what proves for you that she likes me?
I found her 3 days ago, stopping at home, on the mere chance that you'd come to her. I don't know what you want more.
I wouldn't have kept her waiting for the world.
Then there you are.
And having drunk more than a little, I began a lecture without intending to.
Billum? Billum, keep an eye on the fleeting hour. Live all you can. It's a mistake not to. I see it now. I haven't done so enough before, and now I'm old.
Nonsense.
Oh, it's too late.
I grew quite eloquent.
What one loses. Make no mistake about it. Live, Billum. Live.
So you're proposing to marry me off? And I, without a penny?
For all you say, you're up to your eyes in Mamie already.
But she was brought over to save our friend Chad. And she's found that she's too late for that particular miracle.
Then you remain for her to save.
Well, I am returning just now to the music. I see that Miss Barace has eyes to make me.
Oh, yes. Oh, here she comes.
There he is. Lil Bilham. Are you for the singing again?
Yes, I am, Miss Barace. I shall sing my little heart out.
Then come with me. I'm so sorry. I have to take a break.
And so Billum sang, and I watched and waited again until one morning, breakfasting alone at my hotel...
Strether.
Oh, Waymarsh. Good morning. Will we be taking breakfast together today?
Mrs. Pocock, whom I left a quarter of an hour ago, has asked me to say that she would like to find you here in about an hour.
What is she coming for, Waymarsh?
She has something to say.
Oh? Has she heard unexpected news from home?
We're leaving Paris.
Oh, my. That is sudden.
In fact, it's not.
Well, I shall take great pleasure in any explanation.
Mr. and Mrs. Pocock and Miss Mamie are thinking of a little trip, and we've been talking for some days of our joining forces. We sail home together at the end of next month. We start tomorrow for Switzerland.
Tomorrow?
Mrs. Pocock wants some scenery.
And has Sarah been directed to try me on the matter of my also going to Switzerland?
Mrs. Pocock will be ready to answer any inquiry you may put to her, but
don't put her too many.
Strether, don't do anything you'll be sorry for.
Oh, I shan't. I shall walk up and down in the court there. I shall hang about till Sarah graciously presents herself. I hope you have a wonderful time in the Alps. You look up to me as from the foot of them.
Lambert Strether.
I'm not sure your toast is quite finished, Waymarsh.
Quit it.
Well, I had not long to wait. A contemplative turn across the lawns of the hotel, and she was there, dressed as for battle.
Sarah.
Good morning, Lambert.
Good morning. Would you like me to order some tea?
No. No, thank you. Please, sit down.
Well, certainly. Waymarsh has spoken to me this morning.
I know.
He will be traveling to Switzerland with your party?
Yes.
Something has clearly passed between you and Chad that I think I ought to know more about. Does Chad put it all on me?
Well, Chad informs me that you are ready.
Ah.
He'll go in a moment if you give him the word.
Nice.
Consider this. The word.
Hmm. Well, I must see Chad before I see you again.
Is it necessary you should see me again?
If I'm to give you any definite statement about anything.
Then is it your idea that we shall keep on meeting you only to be exposed to fresh humiliation?
Humiliation?
Humiliation.
Sarah, do I assume that your instructions from your mother are that you shall absolutely and irretrievably break with me?
My instructions from Mrs. Newsome are, if you please, my affair.
Though they resonate in the very air between us.
You know perfectly what your own instructions were, and you can judge for yourself what it will do for you to have made what you have of them.
I see.
What is your conduct? What is your conduct but an outrage to women like us? Acting as if there can be a doubt of Chad's duty.
There are totally different kinds of duty.
Do you pretend that he has any at all to such another?
when a woman's at once so charming and so beneficent as Madame de Vionnet.
You will sacrifice mothers and sisters to her without a blush? You will make them cross the ocean on purpose to feel it the more?
I don't think there's anything I've done in any such calculated way as you describe, sir.
Do you consider her even an apology for a decent woman?
She has struck me from the first as wonderful. And I've been thinking, too, that she probably represents to you something rather new and rather good.
Rather new?
I mean that she may have affected you by her exquisite amiability. A real revelation. It has seemed to me it's her...
I have come to such a woman for a revelation?
Her distinction of every sort.
The most distinguished woman we shall either of us have seen in this world sits insulted in her loneliness by such an incredible comparison.
Does your mother herself make that point?
She has confided to me her personal sense of everything.
Well, if she does really feel as you say, that's of course very dreadful. I've given sufficient proof, one would have thought, of my deep admiration for Mrs. Newsom.
Pray, what proof would one have thought you'd call sufficient? Thinking this person here so far superior to her.
Oh, dear Sarah, you must leave me this person here.
Well, that's exactly what I am delighted to do.
Somehow I felt not disheartened, but enlivened. Sure, certain now of my purpose. I was a man inspired. I sought out Chad.
Strether, I'm sorry you've been waiting.
I've been pursuing you from an early hour, Chad.
I've been busy.
Yes, busy. You've been busy. Sarah visited me today. I was quite dressed down.
I'm sorry.
For what?
I told her she must absolutely see you.
Oh, well. I think she's at bottom as pleased to have you put it on me as you yourself can possibly be to put it.
But what in the world, my dear man, have I done?
You've been wonderful, as we say, we poor people who watch the play from the pit. I've left you wholly alone, Chad. Haven't so much as breathed on you.
You've been very good.
Then we've both played the game.
Yes.
When Sarah sailed, it was me she was after. And I think she's greatly enjoyed it.
Was she very unpleasant?
She was definite.
Cigarette?
Yes, I think so for once.
Strether, you ought to think, you know, tremendously well. I mean, before giving up beyond recall...
Say it.
Well, at your age and with what mother might do for you... You give up money, possibly a good deal of money.
You too give up a good deal.
But I've got a certain quantity, whereas you, my dear man...
Did you with Sarah arrive at anything in the nature of a scene?
No. We kept tremendously polite, but she doesn't like me.
Then why does she want you at home?
Because she hates me in Paris.
I must get away from here. I'll be incommunicado for a few days, I think. I won't see Sarah.
There'll be someone you can speak to?
Oh, yes. Someone.
Thank you, Strether, for all you're doing.
Yes, well, don't thank me. Thank Paris. I cut myself loose. The family departed. I became absent, unavailable. Some days passed. I held firm. Independent, not even calling on Mariah Gostrey for support. And then yesterday, I took the train from the Gare Austerlitz, passing near this very house, home to Madame de Vionnet. Such days, whatever should happen, are numbered, and I wanted to give one of them to that French ruralism, with its cool special green, into which I've really looked only through the little oblong window of a picture frame. At the end of some 80 minutes, my train pulled up just at the right spot. The poplars and willows, the reeds and river, fell into a composition. The sky, silver and turquoise and varnish. The village on the left, white, and the church on the right, gray. It was all there. I was freely walking about in it for an hour to my heart's content, making for the shady wooded horizon and boring deep into my impression. There was a train back to Paris at 8 o'clock, and I suppose, if I think now, I saw myself partaking at the close of day, on a coarse white cloth, by a sanded door, of something fried and felicitous, washed down with an authentic wine, after which I might stroll back to my station in the gloaming, or propose for the local carryall and converse with the driver, who wouldn't fail of a stiff, clean blouse and a knitted nightcap, who would sit on the shafts and tell me what the French people were thinking, and remind me of Maupassant. And I should speak French, without fear of Waymarsh or anyone else. Towards 6 o'clock, I found myself amicably engaged with a stout, white-capped, deep-voiced woman at the door of an auberge, the Cheval Blanc.
Madame, bonsoir.
I'd walked many miles. I didn't know. I was tired. The woman gave a broad sketch of what she could provide. I suppose I felt a general ease and confidence. It suffered no shock, even on her mentioning that she had...
Just laid the cloth for some people. They are also dining. They are on a boat on the river. Monsieur might, if he likes, pass into the garden such as it is before your meal.
Oh, mais oui. Merci, madame.
So I sat, hungry but at peace. At peace. The confidence that had so gathered for me deepened with the lap of the water. The faint, diffused coolness. The slight rock of a couple of small boats attached to a rough landing place. As I leaned against a post to look out, I saw a boat advancing round the bend, containing a man who held the paddles and a lady at the stern with a pink parasol. It was as if these figures had been wanted in my picture all day, and now they drifted into sight. Slowly they floated down toward the landing place, presenting themselves as the happy persons for whom my hostess was already preparing a meal. Though at the very moment of my impression, their boat seemed to have begun to drift wide, the oarsman letting it go. Yet it had come near enough for me to dream that the lady in the stern had taken account of my watching them. She'd remarked on it sharply. Her companion hadn't turned around. It was as if I felt her bid him keep still.
It is too prodigious. Chad!
She was quickly and intensely debating with the oarsman the risk of betrayal. I hung there a moment, ready to retreat. I know they would have shown nothing if they could feel sure I hadn't made them out. But instead, I called.
Hey! Hello, hello! Chad! Yes, it's me. Here. Lambert.
Lambert! Well, well. Look, do you see who it is, madame?
Oui, oui, Monsieur Strasser. C'est merveilleux.
Good evening. What a wonderful coincidence.
Hang on, Lambert. We're coming ashore there.
I've been walking. I took the train from Paris, and... Well, now, well, here we all are.
Lambert, this is the most astonishing surprise, and such a pleasant one.
I almost chose not to call out. You've not seen me, and I... Well, I wondered for a moment if I might be imagining.
No, no.
Lambert, would you help Madame ashore?
Oh, certainly, Madame.
Oh, there.
Thank you.
It's the most marvelous coincidence.
Yes, we too were on an excursion. Well, to a place I've known for many years.
Monsieur, dame, dinner is served. Monsieur, your carriage is available. It will take you to the station after dinner.
Oh, oui, merci, madame. Yes, I procured a carriage. I wonder if you have made arrangements.
Jan?
Yes, that was exactly the arrangement we were to sort out once we dined.
Yes, of course, the very arrangement.
Well then,
Let us enjoy the chance and its success.
Comme cela se trouve. We've traveled the whole day and find ourselves in the same place.
Yes, though you've been so much better prepared for the day than I.
Oh, I dressed lightly. Yes, I dressed lightly.
We spent some hours eating, drinking, talking, laughing. Then a slow coach to the station, a stopping train to Paris, and through it all, a slow diminishing vivacity, a growing colder. Madame's shawl and Chad's overcoat and her other warm garments were, I realized, at a place best known to themselves to which they had fully meant to return that evening. And I became aware that the repudiation of that fact was the essence of her engaging comedy now. A parade of bon mots, of French phrases. Very little. Very little from Chad. I sat long in darkness after my return. I scarce went to bed till morning. If it were a performance, then it were continued for long and for all, so I should not see what was shared between them. And that leaves me coldly alone. So this morning, when I left my hotel...
Monsieur, un petit bleu pour vous.
The concierge produced an urgent message. I read it and walked immediately to the post office. I wrote a reply on the boulevard. I would present myself at the hour she named. At this hour. I mightn't see her at all. That was one of the reflections I made after I dropped my closed card into the box. I mightn't see anyone at all anymore. I might make an end, as well now as ever, leaving things as they are, since I am doubtless not to leave them better. So here I wait, in her house. The light is dim. The night. Candles glimmer over the chimney piece like the tall tapers of an altar. The windows are open. They're hanging, swaying a little. I hear from the open court the small plash of the fountain. Beyond, the vague voice of Paris.
Monsieur Strasser.
Ah, dressed as for the scaffold.
Madame.
I'm sorry for my delay. It's such a warm evening I've had to change.
Oh, think nothing of it. A compensation for your choice of dress yesterday?
Ah, I wanted the chance to speak to you very soon.
Well, you have that chance.
Yes, by your gracious good manners. It was a wonderful afternoon yesterday.
Most diverting.
Chad was delighted.
I've not seen Chad.
No, I asked to see you first.
And Chad agreed?
Yes.
As in all things.
The last twice that you've been here, you know, I didn't ask you.
No.
I appeal to you tonight to hear me. Selfish and vulgar, that's what I must seem to you.
Well?
You've done everything for me, and here I am as if I were asking for more. Is it impossible you should stay on?
Stay on?
So that one mayn't lose you.
That is your request?
Is it impossible?
Impossible that I should live with you here instead of going home?
Not with us, since you object to that, but near enough to us, somewhere for us to see you. Well, when we feel we must. And where is your home now, Lambert? What has become of it?
Madame, I no longer know.
Exactement. I've made a change in your life. I know. I've upset everything in your mind. When I think that one has to take so much to be happy out of the lives of others.
You ought to be easy. I am an ambassador. I have no interest. I remain untouched.
I happen to care what you think of me.
I shall never now think a step further than I'm obliged to.
And I, who should have liked to seem to you, well, sublime.
You do. You are wonderful.
I'm old and abject and hideous. Abject above all. Of course you wouldn't, even if possible, be near us. There is nothing to help me.
No.
But think of me. The only certainty is that I shall be the loser in the end. You know, we might, you and I, have been friends.
Yes, perhaps we might. Perhaps. I must go now.
Yes.
Strether, at last. Come in. Get yourself out of the rain. The door is ajar.
Strether, I'm pleased to see you, even at this late hour and in such weather.
I have come at midnight for your life.
An operatic flourish, Strether.
You'll be a brute, you know, Chad. You'll be guilty of the last infamy if you ever forsake her.
Ah, you've seen her.
Oh, yes. To say goodbye. Tomorrow I will buy my ticket.
Well, you appear definitive.
Where have you been, Chad?
I've been busy, and ever am. Look, let me walk you home and lend you an umbrella for the journey.
You've really been away?
I've been to London.
Well, I've waited on, you know, for a last word.
What is it?
It's not a question of advising you not to go, but of absolutely preventing you from thinking of it.
I don't know what should make you think I'm tired of her, Strether.
You speak as of roast mutton.
Look, Strether, I've no wish to stand arguing with you in the rain.
I don't want to hear you flippant. Not over this.
Come, let us escape the infernal downpour. That church. Look, the doorway. Oh, there. Now, Lambert. I've been getting some news of the art of advertisement, and I've encountered a revelation in London. Advertising, scientifically worked, really does the thing, you know.
Affects the sale of the object advertised?
Yes, but affects it extraordinarily, really beyond what one had supposed, in the hands, naturally, of a master, the right man.
London?
Yes, things are advancing there.
It's quite possible that it will be open to you to make the whole business advance with you.
Yeah.
That's exactly the strength of your mother's case.
Yeah, we've been through her case.
Well, why then do you speak of the matter?
Only because there's a very great deal of money in it.
Oh, damn the money. Shall you give your friend up for that?
It's pleasant to size up the bribe before I kick it over the stand.
Well, the bribe's enormous.
Good. Then there it goes. I cleave to her to the death.
You're restless. That can't be for the good.
Are you then not?
Restless, yes, but resolute.
And Miss Gostrey?
What of her?
Doesn't she offer you a chance of redemption? A chance you must surely take.
To her, I feel as a kindly uncle. I must go back. I must. And you, Chad, you must make the right choice.
Yes. The only one.
The one which you won't be afraid to remember. Goodbye, Chad.
Goodbye, Strether. And bonne chance.
Oh, yes. And plenty of that. Oh, yes, indeed.
Miss Gostrey! Raya!
Well, here we are, Lambert. Well.
I'm...
You're a little unkempt.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, I... Thank you for meeting with me.
Well, I'm most happy to meet.
I'm rather in need of some guidance again, just as at our first encounter in London.
I see.
You know all you've heard.
You will give her up.
I realize that... Well, that I'm naive... That something was going on, and I should have seen that something.
There is much to see in Paris. But to see is not necessarily to discern.
That I've learned.
Is your idea that there is some other woman in London?
Yes. No. I have no ideas. I'm afraid of them. I've done with them. I'm returning home.
So I assumed.
when you cabled. But, Lambert, what do you go home to?
I don't know. I shall see what I can make of things.
Shall you make anything at home so good at... There's nothing, you know, I wouldn't do for you. There's nothing in all the world.
I know. I know, Mariah. But all the same, I must go.
Why?
To be right. That's the only logic, to be right. And to stand as right. I've been an ambassador for others, not for myself. And that's how you would want me, Marley. You can't disagree with me if I point that out.
No, I can't indeed.
Then there we are. My trunk has been packed onto the boat train. Au revoir, Mariah.
Yes. Goodbye, Lambert. Perhaps now is the moment to forego that necktie.
Oh, yes. It may be that in that you were right all along. Here. I'll let you dispose of it.
Yes. I shall find it a home.
Goodbye, Mariah.
Ambassadors by Henry James. Lambert Strether was played by Henry Goodman, Chad by Orlando Seal, and Madame Marie de Vionnet by Joanna Bergin. Mariah Gostrey was Claire Lawrence Moody, Billum Ricky Lawton, Waymarsh Paul Moriarty, Sarah Pocock Adjo Ando, Jim Pocock James Lely, Mamie Pocock Francine Chamberlain, and Miss Barace Tracy Wiles. The Ambassadors was adapted for radio by Graham White and directed by Peter Kavanagh.
The conclusion of our classic serial as part of Books on the BBC. After the news, Mariella Frostrup continues her celebration of funny books and funny writers, with the award-winning writer A.L. Kennedy selecting Evelyn Waugh's The Loved One as her favourite funny book. Less well-known than Scoop, this biting satire described by a critic as one of the funniest and most significant books of the century. Open Book in a couple of minutes.